We should get the Motti mics, the ones that you can hold up to your lips.
I mean, I do that with these. I like the caress of the metal.
And the World Cup for Japan! They have rewritten the history books in Germany.
And welcome, everybody, to the Final Countdown, a podcast looking back at great finals within the game of Lewis.
That was a smooth intro, mate.
You missed within game the of game Lewis. Of Lewis.
Keep that in. That has to be the intro. If I listen back and you've edited this, I'm not going to be happy.
I'm so upset that I just minced that.
I'm going to say game of Lewis for the next 20 seconds.
It's terrible. It's because I was looking down and I saw I am Lewis here once again with my co-host Adam. Oh, it could have been so smooth.
The game of Lewis. If that doesn't sum up the narcissistic approach to life. You
know. Strap yourselves in, half an hour of the Lewis show.
I'm here too.
So we were going to, in case anyone was wondering, so I realised we referenced it on a few podcasts earlier, do an emergency pod of the England final. We obviously didn't do it because England didn't win. So we thought it can take its turn in the order of things. So next week...
That'd be like a podcast to discuss the meaning of Everybody Hurts.
Yeah. It's just going to be that on a loop. That's good. That's really good. But yeah, so that will be next week. We've put it in its specific place because for me, the grief was still too near when it first happened. But we do have a belter of a final. It's 2019 that we're looking back. It's my turn this week.
And 2019, eh? What happened then?
Well, before we get into it, it's related to 2019. Do you know the manager of the Dutch national team in 2019?
Van Gaal?
No.
Van Basten? No, it was earlier that, wasn't it?
There's a reason I'm bringing it up. She's a Dutch superstar.
Oh, the women's. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't specify.
We're doing a women's World Cup. What did you think?
Yeah, we're just talking about blokes football outside of the pod.
Why would I begin the 2019 Women's World Cup final talking about the men's that didn't happen? Anyway. Who was Dutch manager in 2019?
Wiegman.
Yes, yeah. Serena Wiegman.
They got to the final, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. So, spoilers.
Spoiler.
Straight away, but Serena Wiegman, one of a kind, and I really, really, truly hope we hold on to her for the next one.
What do you think of the suggestion that's been floated about her replacing Southgate when he goes?
So, I think it's a complicated issue, only because I genuinely think she would do a great job, in as much as I think her and Southgate are actually comparable in terms of creating a team spirit, quieting down the media, getting people on side, getting a likeable team, everyone in the squad, whether they've played all the minutes or whether they've played 10 minutes in the game, all seem to be happy, pulling in the same direction. Yeah. And that has literally changed the whole attitude around the men's football team. And I think that feel-good nature and the positivity has done wonders for the Lionesses as well.
Yeah.
I actually think Wiegman is a much better tactician than Southgate, so I would be all for it. However...
She would have brought on Grealish, surely.
She would have done. She bloody would have done as well. She would have told Saka to elbow Chiellini in the jaw, get off my shirt.
Warm those calves up, Jack. You're coming on.
But all I'll say is, unfortunately, I don't want her to be one of the first to stick her head above the parapet, because whichever female manager...
Oh, man, it'd been enormous.
At a high level, obviously, the Forest Green Rovers promoted their academy coach. She was their interim, but already there were pelters. That will happen regardless, but I just think, unfortunately, it's a poison chalice. You can't give it at this moment in time. You need it to break through and become more commonplace. Although saying I guess you've got to be the first person, haven't you?
Yeah,
Serena
made a great triumph. Someone's got to be first. I mean, I guess you could argue that coming in when the England team is doing relatively well would be harder than coming in when they're doing terribly.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because people say, Southgate got lucky because, you know, the bar was so low when he came in. But he still took them to finals semi-finals.
Yeah, and it's a different challenge, isn't it? It's what we spoke about in terms of, like you're saying, if you're riding high and you bring in any manager, then there are a lot of kind of... questions to answer. Yeah. It happened with Southampton where they had, what was his name? English coach. And they were doing quite well and they sacked him and brought in Poch. I thought it became with an A. Anyway.
I thought it was Adams, Carroll.
That manager, everyone was like, hold on, I think they were like 8th or 9th at the time. Yeah. Really good for Southampton.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what are you doing? You're flying high. And then Poch came in, took him to another level. So it's a different challenge. And if you're terrible, then if you can make some respectable out of that.
I mean, do you think you'll see a woman coach of the men's team in your lifetime?
I think so. Yeah, I do. I genuinely do.
Because it's always going to be, there'll be plenty of people that say it's a
PR stunt.
A PR or woke appointment.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But again, that's going to happen until it becomes more commonplace. Like, we've seen the attitude change with women's football in terms of
course, majority, yeah, yeah.
a lot more men watching.
But that came through success, really, didn't it?
It did, yeah, it did. So, yeah, it's a real challenge. I think, I do think it will happen. Personally, my shout is going to be Emma Hayes when she finishes at Chelsea.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah, so, Wiegmann or her are really the only people that could.
Well, they're the highest profile. Yeah. I think they've got the best, almost like a running start into the men's game. But it's also difficult because I understand. I remember Emma Hayes, I think, was linked with a League Two job, I think.
Right.
This is quite a few years back. But she was like, I'm playing in the Champions League with Chelsea. Like, why would I drop down to that level?
Yeah.
And I think that logic is sound. I just think it takes a lot of guts for a Championship or a Premier League team to go, all right, we're going to take the plunge and we're going to stick with it. We're going to give you a bit of time.
I mean, I guess the other side of it is there'll be slightly different, but you'll know what I'm saying when I say it. There'll be an element of the Wrexham effect.
Yeah,
for the first team to do it.
Yeah, yeah, because, absolutely.
I mean, the amount of exposure that team has got because a couple of Hollywood people bought the team.
Yeah, totally.
It's similar, isn't it? Yeah, I guess it depends on whether they do well because...
Yeah, but, well, so it's difficult, isn't it? Because, unfortunately, if you're already predisposed. Thanks. Predisposed to having a negative thought about it. If they're successful, oh, it's just the players on the pitch. It's just
yeah, yeah. And I mean, they'll be that anyway, won't they? Yeah, yeah. yeah.
But ultimately, it's so difficult, isn't it? Because you, in an ideal world, there wouldn't be so much sensation over it, but there's going to be. And so you've got to have somebody so strong and basically tactically astute in order to be able to adapt. But also, it works both ways, in as much as any man taking on the women's teams have to adapt the way in which they coach. And the techniques that would work with men don't always transfer because of lots of different things, different physicalities, different demands on a body, different plans.
Phil Neville succeeded everywhere he's gone.
Well, yeah, he's, you know, successfully been alive. He's got himself to
double
different countries.
Double step over, mate.
Double step over. What are we talking about? Phil. But Phil. Big Phil. Big Phil Scolari.
Scolari's livid with that.
He's very upset. I really wish someone could Photoshop Big Phil Scolari's mustache onto Phil Neville's face. That would make me insanely happy.
Sorry, I digressed us.
No, it's a lovely philosophical question to begin. Justin, the question back at you before we carry on the 2019 final.
Hit me.
Do you think that there will be a women's football manager in your lifetime?
Of the men's team? I don't think she should do it because I think, like you say, what's the reward? It's a very small margin of error. But Wiegmann really, for me, unless something dramatic like, you know, a women's manager wins the World Cup twice in a row, Wiegmann seems like it's the perfect time if it was going to happen. Yeah. Southgate's coming to the end of his reign. We know that regardless of how he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Wiegmann was to win the Euros again and Southgate finishes, when will there be a better candidate and time?
And ultimately, she's, you could argue, overqualified for the job. She's got to a World Cup final and lost with Holland. She's got to a Euros final and won. She's got to a World Cup final and lost. Yeah. Three tournaments in a row, she's made the final.
Yeah.
And I just think we would be lucky to have a manager like that. But obviously people would go, we just won't.
I don't think it will happen. But I think 10 years from now, you know, there'll be clamour for it. There'll be talk about it. But it would take a long time for another manager in the women's game to build up that kind of reputation again.
Absolutely.
Four added minutes. And Gerrard! Stunning!
Well, take a bow, son. I mean that, take a bow. You have been immense.
So, back to the 2019 Women's World Cup final. So, 24 teams contested it. It was hosted in France, 9 cities across the country. It was Chile, Jamaica, Scotland and South Africa's turn to make their debut. So, it's
Scottish
the first time the Scottish women's team.
Yeah, you don't come across.
No, and they've got some great players nowadays. And this is obviously the start of that generation that's started to make Scotland a bit stronger.
Yeah.
But yeah, Chile, Jamaica, Scotland, South Africa debuting. VAR would be used for the first time in a women's tournament.
That was that predating it being used in the men's tournament? I think it was. 2018.
No, I think 2018 we had it.
Did we? Fair enough.
I think so. I'll edit this out if that isn't the case. As we've mentioned earlier, England were managed by Phil Neville at this time.
Go on, Phil. Big Phil.
They were drawn in a Big Phil. They were drawn in a group with Japan, Argentina and Scotland, and they topped the group with 3 wins out of 3, with the results matched by the USA, Germany, Netherlands and France. So England, Germany, Netherlands, France and the USA all won 3 wins out of 3. So again, the dominant showing.
I've got a feeling that Phil Neville donned a waistcoat.
not pre-Southgate. No.
No, Southgate was 2018. Was there a thing made of the fact that he copied him? I've got a vision in my head of
It's Phil Neville, isn't it?
It is.
That is brand Phil Neville.
How can I get success?
Looking up to Gareth Southgate like it's Gary Neville. Just looking up at his older brother being like, hey, Gareth, what's going on there? What you got going in your waistcoat?
That sounds more like Gary.
That's true, yeah. It's all just generic Mancunian. England would make the semi-finals of this World Cup following 2-3-0 victories, first against Cameroon and then Norway in the quarters. So
Norway again?
Yeah.
They must bloody hate us.
Exactly. We are the antidote to the Scandinavian Vikings. Mm. I've mixed metaphors there, but you get the idea.
Go for it, mate.
We're the tsunami that sinks the Viking longboats. Is that too much? I've gone too Peter Drury. Never go full Peter Drury.
Not unless you're actually Peter Drury.
So a good tournament for Phil, as much as we're mocking.
Yeah, I mean, the England team now, in the 2019, would have been the young version of some of the players that we've seen have success.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those players coming through and beginning, I think Williamson played in this World Cup, not for many minutes from what I remember.
No, that's right.
Lucy Bronze, obviously Millie Bright, so... It was the beginning of the team that we've gotten to know.
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to say, the team that we've grown up with and thought, I'm 34 years old. I hope that I'm still not a teenager growing up.
Speak for yourself, mate. I'm growing up every day.
Oh, that's good, mate. Every day's school day, always learning. unfortunately, though, England would meet an informed US and they battled against a much more difficult opposition.
Is that who they went out to?
That's right.
No way.
Yeah, so the US had defeated Spain and France before beating England 2-1 in the semi-finals. So it's the USA doing what they do best, which is just being an absolute steamroller.
Was it close? I don't remember.
Yeah, it was. They only beat England 2-1. Ellen White scored in between goals from Kristen Press and Alex Morgan. This is the game that I'm sure you'll remember for Alex Morgan's celebration.
Teacup.
That's right.
Yeah.
This was the
game. Quite controversial, that one.
It was, yeah. Mm. Again, it's all about the sportsmanship of the US. They hate it when they lose and they don't win well.
They
do love winning. So it was, Morgan's, for those that don't know, she runs over to the England fans, stands still.
I didn't know it was in front of the England fans.
That's right. She holds a teacup and a saucer pretending to Boston Tea Party it. But it didn't get particularly many fans. However, it was England captain Steph Houghton who had the chance to equalise on the penalty spot.
That's what I remember. Remember I said last week that I thought it was Steph Houghton the own goal. I knew she was involved in something.
That's right. It's 84th minute, chance to equalise.
Why was Steph Houghton taking the penalty?
Yeah, I wondered that.
Fair play if she's the penalty taker.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, big up Steve Bruce in the early 90s.
Steph Houghton will be absolutely livid with that comparison. But at least Steph Houghton had plenty of England caps.
Penalty taking centre-back, all right? Hey, that's what I meant.
Steve Bruce, the best England player to never be capped, and I'm sticking with it. Steph Houghton, she had the chance. Unfortunately, it was saved. And then Millie Bright, again, this is one that we've spoken about before in terms of players getting sent off. She got a second yellow to reduce the England to 10 women for the final five minutes. So Millie Bright just going through the back of someone. But it ultimately didn't matter, and we went out to 2-1. But I think a semi-final 2-1 loss to the USA is nothing to
especially at that stage.
Yeah, exactly.
I think at that stage, yeah.
So I think, well done, Phil Neville. I think we mentioned this last week, that his England career starts quite well, even if his attitude towards having the women's job, he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder. This is my stepping stone till I can get a real job, which I didn't think won him a lot of fans. Yeah. But they started well under his tutelage. But on the other side of the draw, we had the Netherlands, managed by Serena, crown her with many crowns.
Here he goes. So bloody Ronaldo, strapping everyone.
The Netherlands had beaten Japan, Italy, but did need extra time to beat Sweden 1-0 in their semi-final. So the US had steamrolled everyone, with the exception of England. And the Netherlands on the other side of the draw hadn't had an easy run either. Japan, who obviously had got to two World Cup finals in a row, Italy, and then extra time against Sweden. The Netherlands, of course, being managed by the one and only Serena Wiegman, just out-tacticking everybody.
Tacticking.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to stick with it. So the US, however, so it's the US and Netherlands in the final. The US were heavy favourites, despite the fact that they had a lot of pressure. They were chasing a record number of World Cups. So they had three victories already, and they were chasing four. Despite the fact that the Netherlands were the reigning European champions.
Right. Interesting.
I'm going to look and see if Serena Wiegman was manager for that.
Nah, they would have mentioned that, surely.
Some time later.
Managed by Serena Wiegman.
No way. How has that never been said?
Clearly, me and you have missed it. Or I don't
know. But you think that's the kind of thing they repeat again and again and again? Like two Euros wins in a row?
2017 European champion, Serena Wiegman.
Wow.
Absolutely impressive.
She should get the England job. men's job.
Well, she is overqualified now. She'd have more success than we can dream of.
She should do an interview saying now she don't want to take a step down.
That'd
be good.
The banter would be unbelievable.
That'd be great.
It was just banter.
But yeah, so Serena Wiegmann, she is a, as a manager, she was a Women's World Cup runner-up in 2019. And yeah, won the Women's Championship in 2017 for Holland.
There you go.
And then World Cup runner-up. So she's literally mirrored at England, what she's done at Holland.
Just thinking that, yeah.
Yeah, incredible. So yeah, Serena Wiegmann is pretty much the thing that gave Holland credibility. They obviously had a lot of great players, but this was the USA's to continue their winning streak. And we'll find out whether they did or not as we head into the match.
You just cannot write scripts like this.
So a point of interest as we begin. Frustratingly, the spectacle of the Women's World Cup final was diminished slightly because the US men's team were playing in their Gold Cup final at the same time, forcing viewers and fans to split as to who to watch. Terrible scheduling for the Women's World Cup final on the same day as their own team are playing in another final in the Gold Cup.
Wow.
Add on that, a third thing, the Copa America final was also scheduled for the same day and time.
No way.
So if you are a football fan, you have these three big games, big finals that you are then torn between, which I'm trying to remember which way around it was. I think that the women's organisers put it on the same day that the two other finals were already taking place. So either way, it was an oversight by the people organising all tournaments to not try and maximise the coverage. And
or a PR stunt to maximise talk about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe. I feel like it's a lose-lose. So the Netherlands had been resilient, if not spectacular, leading up to the final, whereas the US had been free-scoring, the Netherlands being formidable in defence, but liked to score in the second half. They went through the entire tournament only scoring goals in the second half.
I was just about to mock that, because obviously it sounds ridiculous, like, don't score in the first half.
Yeah, don't score too early. Well, we've learned that with Luke Shaw, haven't we?
Luke Shaw, but there must be something to it. Like, the team maybe take time to find their rhythm or...
Yeah, or suss out the opposition, start kind of more compact and try and figure out how the other team playing tactically.
Yeah.
But clearly it had worked with Netherlands getting to the final. The US, however, had scored within the opening 12 minutes of their previous six games.
They love it, don't they?
They're just, they are so brutally concise.
They bulldoze, don't they? Bulldoze. They're a real power team. It's like last week's final.
Exactly.
Four goals in 16 minutes. It's ridiculous.
Outrageous stuff. So, again, it was going to be interesting whether the Netherlands could hold on until the second half and kind of work their way into the game, whether the US would score early. So 57,000 fans attending the final, and the US, as predicted, started quickly. So Netherlands goalkeeper, captain, and winner of the tournament's Golden Glove Award, Sari van Veenendaal, was busy keeping the US at bay. So I think that kind of states what type of team or tournament that the Netherlands had, where your goalkeeper, captain, and the winner of the Golden Glove starts you. So two solid saves early on to deny Mewis and Morgan of the US. But it was a relatively physical game with a yellow card shown 10 minutes in with an unfortunate head injury to US defender Kelly O'Hara following a crash with Leake Martins during an aerial challenge. So that resulted in O'Hara being substituted at half-time because of the head injury.
Oh, wow.
And it was Ali Krieger who came on at the end of the first half. America defender Becky Sauerbraun also received a cut to the face later on in the game. So it was a really physical,
brutal
battle between the two teams. But it was 0-0 other than those two early chances the US had. So the Netherlands had managed to stop the US from doing what they'd done all tournament. And like we said, bulldozing teams and kind of jumping on them. So at halftime, the game was nicely poised. The US had been better, more attacking, but the Netherlands had held out. As the US continued to dominate, though, in the second half, it felt like a matter of time before they would find a breakthrough, and it would take only 10 minutes to decide this final. So the first goal came from the US after Dutch defender Stephanie van der Graat was penalised after VAR awarded the US a penalty following a high foot into the shoulder of Alex Morgan. It's very much Nigel de Jong territory. Where
just about to make it. Joke.
So the Dutch have clearly got previous in this, especially in World Cup finals. But unfortunately, there's no denying it was a penalty. Although it's funny that they needed VAR to confirm.
I was going to say that, yeah. How did that get missed?
I don't know if it was off the ball or if it was missed a bit later. But nevertheless, maybe they just wanted to confirm because it's a World Cup final.
Off the ball's even worse.
Isn't yeah, it? Just a Mortal Kombat style.
Finish her.
a high foot into the shoulder of Alex Morgan. So van der Graat earned a yellow card, and the penalty was scored by big game player and captain Megan Rapinoe.
It's Rapinoe against Van Veenendaal. It's 1-0. The USA 1, the Netherlands 0.
Who became the oldest player to score in a Women's World Cup final?
Yeah.
So that's another record they didn't manage to get last tournament, after the amount of records.
One of the few, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. However, it would only take another 8 minutes, before America would double their lead and effectively kill the final, this time through the brilliance of Rose Lavelle. So Lavelle collects the ball just inside the Dutch half, dead centre of the pitch. She runs directly at the heart of the Dutch defence, with the Netherlands defenders backing off, and taking full opportunity of the Dutch invitation. Lavelle carries the ball right to the edge of the area before firing a left foot strike to the keeper's left. Mm. It's 2-0 to the United States, and that, as they say, is that. Mm. Which, it's really strange when you look back at the highlights of that Rose Lavelle goal. It's brilliant technique, she's really fearless driving forward, but there's two Dutch defenders that are both backing off. It isn't like one goes to it and one sweeps. It's a little bit of indecision.
Wouldn't happen in your back line, would it, mate?
Absolutely not. I'd just be chasing behind people going, stop that player.
Yeah, spot on.
But unfortunately, two goals down, and for a Dutch team that hadn't been throwing people
forward.
How
do you come back from that? Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. There were more half chances for both teams, but the game was over and the US would win their record-breaking fourth World Cup title.
Crazy.
And with that, we'll go into our extra time.
Well, you have just witnessed 90 of the most gripping minutes of European football you will ever, ever see. But the good news is there's more to come.
So the US were the deserved winners. They would have 9 shots on target in the game compared to the Netherlands 1, which kind of tells you that, again, much as it's kind of boring to talk about how just undeniable the US women's national team were, they were just head and shoulders above even Serena Wiegmann, which takes
it's
them
funny. It's, in some sports, the pure dominance of a player or a team is raised up.
Mm-hmm.
And in others, it's labelled boring. I'm not necessarily accusing you,
no,
but it's just is it like Tiger Woods, Federer, like those, you know, Djokovic now, those dominance is sometimes labelled as inspiring and praiseworthy, and other times it's labelled as, oh, it's a bit boring, isn't it? Like Verstappen in Formula One at the moment, that kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. Funny, people talk about the Farmers League of like Germany, where Bayern Munich win every year, but they still have
what is the difference?
Exceptional levels to hit again and again and again. Yeah, no, it's really interesting. And I'm on the other side of this argument often when I talk about Spain's dominance, because, you know, I have a semi for the 3 finals that Spain won.
Whereas I think they're boring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think you need to have at least a bit of character about you. I think if you are just a winning cold machine,
isn't it?
If you're just a winning cold machine, you need something to endear you. You need a story or a personality or something to, like the Tiger Woods, like rise from obscurity is inspirational.
Yeah.
But I guess you lose that once you've been at the top of the game for 15 years. People forget.
I guess the most obvious one is switching sports, but it's the great one is the tennis one. Is a lot of people still say Federer is the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that Djokovic is clearer
yeah,
than
sure,
now,
yeah,
but not as likable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I wonder if that's what it comes down to. This American team might not have been as likable.
Yeah, sure.
For whatever reason.
Well, probably celebrating, sticking your
pinky
out.
You don't
and
like
drinking.
The teacup thing, do you?
I don't like the teacup. I tell you what, I would have Boston Tea Party'd it. I would have thrown my tea in the sea. In protest. Going back a few podcasts, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about the prize money. So to see where it's come. So in 2019, the prize money that was given out, and this is in US dollars, total per team. So if you finish 17th to 24th, so out in the group stages, 750K, 9th to 16th place. So if you got to the round of 16, £1 million per FA.
Mm.
58th place, so if you got to quarterfinals, 1.45 million, so basically 1.5 million. Fourth place, slightly more again, 1.6 million. So from third place, 2 million, runners up, 2.6 million, and champions, 4 million. So it's increased about fourfold from, you know, 2 tournaments ago, which I thought was interesting. So the international broadcast of the match garnered an average of 82 million live viewers and 260 million total, setting a new tournament record. So 260 million worldwide viewers for
that's
the Women's
good,
World Cup.
From
yeah,
what it was, certainly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Excellent. So in the Netherlands, the final was watched by 5.5 million people. An estimated 88% of people with television access.
I was going to say, that's going to be up there, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's incredible. So you can effectively say everybody in the Netherlands that has access to a TV were watching this game, which is a great thing to see, when especially a smaller population-wise country like the Netherlands getting behind the women's team.
Yeah.
There were 3 joint Golden Boot winners, which I thought was an interesting quirk. I can't think of the last time that happened.
There's one in the It was a men's World Cup, wasn't there, when there was about six of them.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't remember which one it was, but I remember having a similar conversation about it. But yeah, it's a bit weird when it happens, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, so Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan of the US, you'd expect, and Ellen White.
Go on.
Yeah, we'll join. So Rapinoe would win because she played less minutes, and she would win the Golden Ball for the best player of the tournament.
Is that
as well.
How they differentiate it?
That's right, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's less minutes. And if you're tied, I think, on minutes, it's assists.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you are...
I think that might be a new thing, because... It was like something like 1954 or something with the blokes one. There's no way like six guys were exactly the same.
No, of course not. Yeah, not a chance. Absolutely not.
They probably blew the budget on golden boots.
Yeah.
Can't do that again.
Guys, we've just had to take some from the subs and spray paint them gold. Don't let Pelé know.
Yeah, that's good.
This World Cup also has the record for the biggest win ever at World Cup. It was the US and they battered Thailand. Do you remember the score?
15-1.
No, but not far. It was 13-0.
What, I put one?
Well, you know, maybe you felt sorry for Thailand. Yeah, you maybe. Wanted them to have a little moment.
13-0, man.
So I remember, again, I it's similar to what you're talking about with success. A lot of people were critical of the US saying, like, what's the point when you're 7-0 up, 8-0 up? Why are you going for more and more and more? Mm. But then the argument is, well, we're reaching for excellence. Why, like, we're respecting our opponent by playing to our ability and goal different. We're just going to play what's in front of us. And I don't.
Yeah, but it's not their problem that Thailand are weak.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of agree with that. And also, like, people like Morgan or Rapinoe, whoever, they probably saw that game as, I'm going to win the Golden Boot here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And, like, without you mentioning the Thailand game, all I knew about that is that two American players won the Golden Boot.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
No, exactly.
You don't care, do you?
No,
I'm kind of like, it's elite sport. Like, yeah, you're not there to kind of have sympathy with people.
That's how I feel. And I think it only became such a thing. It's because it was the US that did
exactly.
it. And, yeah, and they yeah. were unapologetic about it. There was no sense of, yeah,
well,
okay,
I don't
maybe.
Think they need to
no,
be.
They shouldn't yeah, have been. Yeah. But yeah, in their post-match, they were like, no, we play what's in front of us. And yeah, like you say, it's elite sport. It's a World Cup. You
it's
can't
funny
just...
that people want, especially British people, they want their sportsmen to be elite. They want them to be winners. Mm-hmm. But they don't necessarily like what it takes.
No, they don't want that dead-eyed mentality.
No.
They don't want the coldness. No. They want you to... Yeah, yeah, it's why Andy Murray's never been embraced as like...
Until
in the same
cried.
Way Tim Henman.
Until he cried.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, that was the moment.
Yeah.
Which is so...
It's strange,
bloody
isn't
British,
it?
Isn't it?
So like, strange. We need to see a man with repressed emotions occasionally let them out. Which is basically every English drama of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Stiff upper lip, one moment of quiet sadness with a single tear, and then it's like, we can finally root for him. Well done.
I've always liked him. I've always liked him.
And then we'll finish this World Cup report on Marta, who we've covered quite extensively
in
the past. So she became the first player, male or female, to score at five FIFA World Cup tournaments when she scored a penalty against Australia.
Wow.
And in the next match, she scored against Italy to become the outright leading goal scorer, male or female, at a World Cup with 17 goals in total. So Marta cementing her place
Amazing.
On the world stage. And you can see why we spoke about her so much in the previous episodes. But
never got it done though, did she?
She didn't, no.
Sad times.
Yeah, very, very sad.
The one that went begging.
Yeah, and I would love to see a Brazil, just men's or women's, just give me a Brazil winning the World Cup again. It's been too long now.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Like, growing up, since 2002 was the last time.
Yeah.
So it's just been a drought now, and having grown up with the mythology around Brazil,
I mean, you could argue,
right.
if you don't buy into the Neymar myth, mm-hmm. which I, for one, particularly, I don't think he's as good as he thinks he is.
Sure.
Brazil haven't really had a top quality team since 2002. Really.
No, it's been a hodgepodge, and they've made some strange decisions managerially as well. It's
you know they need that, don't you?
Sorry,
you know they need Big Phil Neville.
Ah, Big Phil. Could you imagine the press release? Big Phil's coming to Brazil. Everyone's like, oh, here we go. At least he's won us a World Cup.
That'd be bloody great, wouldn't it?
Phil Neville turns up.
Who's our manager? Big Phil. Fantastic. I love that guy.
Phil Neville grows out his tash to try and fool people. Eats loads over the summer.
What a press conference.
Loves an attacking wing back, this guy.
He'd fit right in there, wouldn't he? Double step over training session.
We are officially losing our minds. But that is our report for the 2019 World Cup. So do join us next week as we get to talk about the heartache and the heroics of the England Lionesses.